6 o'clock, and it's called this meeting to an order. I need adoption for number 2, amendment agenda.
And I'd like to amend the agenda to include a discussion about an appointment to the CMLE board from Great River.
And we will put that where at 12, we'll call it 12.4 under new business. Objections? Okay, then I need approval of the minutes, 3.1, January 16, 2018 board meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the agenda as amended.
All right.
Second.
Okay, got that. I need a second? Mary, okay. Oh, I'll get off my meds and we'll move on here. Approval of minutes. Can we do that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, let's get back in the rhythm. Okay, 3, approval of minutes, January 16, 2018 board meeting. Need a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
For more discussion?
I'll second.
Any discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 3.2, February 2018 board special session. I need a motion?
So moved.
I got a motion from Jim. I need a second for more discussion.
Second.
I have a second from Wayne. Any discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 3.3, February 20th, 2018 personnel committee meeting. I would need a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Got a motion. I need a second, please. And I have a second. It was Mary, right? Okay. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And I believe we do not have anybody on open forum, so that's taken care of. Financial, bills emailed. Everybody got their financial statement? Mm-hmm. I'll need a motion to request action on that.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the bills from item 5.1.
All right, we have a motion from Jim. I need a second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Financial reports that were emailed. We need just a motion on that also. That would be 5.2.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion for that one from Mike. I need a second.
Second.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Consent agenda. Minnesota Public Library annual report.
There is a copy available. We chose not to make 15 copies of it because it's so substantial. Okay. If you'd like to take a look through it, you're welcome to.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
I have a motion to approve the second agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And I have a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else on that one?
It's required for state reporting, so we'll get that filed by the April 1st deadline. So thank you.
I trust it's well done.
Yes, Beth always does an exemplary job. And Aaron does a good job wrangling our cities to get their financials.
All right, moving on. 7, communications. 2017 Great River Annual Report.
Should be in front of you. It's the burgundy. This is a draft that we had printed special for the board meeting just to give you a final look at it before we sent it out. In the past, it has been a 24-page publication that was sent to about 200 people. We've changed the format substantially so that we can send it to 900 people at half the cost. So if you're comfortable with that, we will move forward with doing that. The changes that will be made yet before we do a final printing is we are going to change the 2017 highlights. The last one will reference the Bounce Back Project and some of the wellness work that was done out in Wright County and in a number of other of our library communities with their hospitals and medical facilities. And then for some reason, I don't know, We've had a long debate about which way you're supposed to flip this in order to get it right side up. So I don't know that this will be the final direction. direction that things will be printed, so.
You were watching me?
Actually,
what you were doing?
It was my husband last weekend that started the whole thing, so.
Aaron, are you watching?
Yeah, it's upside down. What happened was, we had it printed this direction, and they flipped this for mailing purposes, so we're gonna flip it.
Yeah, I couldn't find the inside at first.
So that will get fixed.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Jim.
In the past, we've always listed the upper staff, directors and stuff. Are you not gonna have that this year?
No, we also did not list the donors. We're going to instead recognize donors by posting a poster in each library and highlight the top donors for the region and then the donors from that library. Partly because only city, county administrators, friends of the library members receive this. We're actually gonna mail this to all the donors, and we think donors would want this mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. So we think this will be a better way of recognizing them because they'll actually see their name at the library if they go to the library, where in the past they might not have even gotten a copy of the annual report.
Did you say county board members would get these too?
I think we have county administrators, but if you wanted to go to all county commissioners, we could do that pretty easily.
I would like it to go to our board.
Okay, yep.
And one more question.
Jim?
The Board of Trustees, you list them not alphabetically, or do you list them in, by county, yes, but within the county, how do you determine?
I don't know. If you would like them alphabetically by last name, we can do that.
I'm just asking.
We'll just last.
The graphic designer did this about 6 different ways, so I'm not sure how we ended up in this order.
Jim, should we list them by age?
Well, it looks like this year they listed them by counties.
They are by county, and then within the counties, I don't know if it's alphabetical by first name, maybe. Probably alphabetical by first name.
Trust me, Jim, I'm never used to having my name.
How would you do Todd County?
Wow, I'm pretty impressed.
It's done.
Oh.
I guess we better leave it the way it is.
No, no. Do we want to move on that and give a better, put them in alphabetical order after the counties?
We can do that.
I think
let's do that. Yeah.
I just think the county commissioner should be listed first in the county. That's what I was thinking.
You want the county commissioners listed first and then alphabetical?
Within the county, they should be first.
I'm seeing not.
So, Jim, are you looking at putting the county first, alphabetic?
Oh, just the way it is, but like for Sherburne County, Lisa would be listed first. For Stearns, Joe, let's see.
It's not necessary.
Okay.
Excuse me, Jim. I can be on the bottom.
Then.
He's looking at this. How are they going to know that that's the commissioner then?
Do they need
think
to?
You want
go
that?
To happy hours.
I don't think so.
Go to happy hours.
I don't know, Dave. Well, I'd rather not put
they
commissioner
look at
in front of
yeah. Sure, or Benton, Morrison, and Todd. They'll get it.
Yeah.
Save the ink.
Okay, who started? For saving the ink, we'll leave it the same. Any more discussion?
Yeah. $10 million budget.
Yeah.
Anything else on the communications?
No.
All right. Thank you. And looks like we have a presentation, 8.1, Friends of the Library.
So this is Sue Pogacnik from the St. Cloud Friends of the Library. Thank
you got
Sue
the microphone working, right, Aaron? All right.
The St. Cloud Friends is by far our largest supporter when you look at our donor list. So thank you to the Friends for being present tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
As Karen said, and Ryan said, my name is Sue Pogacnik, and I am the current president of the St. Cloud Friends of the Library. And Ryan asked me here tonight to just spend a couple of minutes with you to talk to you about our organization and what we do. All right, so what's our mission? Well, our mission is to enhance the programming, the physical building. Okay. And the collection of the St. Cloud Public Library with an eye towards literacy, community, sustainability, and accessibility. Mm-hmm. How do we carry out our mission? What do we do? Well, we carry out our mission through a group of dedicated volunteers who operate the used bookstore that you probably saw when you walked in the building tonight. While our merchandise is primarily books, we also sell other media, like videos and, believe it or not, vinyl records. All of the merchandise that we sell comes from patron donations, as well as items that have been culled from the library's collection itself. In addition to running the used bookstore, we also hold an annual bag of book sale, and then we sponsor other special events. Our organization is further supported by membership dues from our 240 members. So what do our volunteers look like? As I mentioned, our organization is completely volunteer run. The bookstore is run by volunteers and managed by a 10-person board of directors. We have one volunteer coordinator, one volunteer trainer, and we have 15 individuals who work in the sorting room and roughly 50 people who work in the bookstore itself. The sorting room volunteers sort, price, and shelve books. The bookstore volunteers assist customers, restock, and they act as cashiers. Our bookstore volunteers work a total of approximately 220 hours per month. All of these hours and these books translate into revenue that we grant to the library. So how much have we raised? In the last 5 years, our organization has raised roughly $230,000 that we have primarily given to the library. Last year, we raised roughly $55,000 by selling used books. Now think about it. The average price of a used book is 50 cents. So we're selling a lot of books, okay? I'm happy to report that our revenue has been steadily increasing, with the exception you'll see in 2016, when the library was closed for a couple of months due to the fire. It cost us at least $10,000 in revenue that we were unable to give away back to you. We're pleased to see this growing trend because many Friends bookstores are struggling to survive. A number of them have closed. Normally, it's due to they lack volunteers and bookstore sales have been decreasing. And that's not our case. I think the biggest contributor to our growth has been that we brought on a new volunteer coordinator. And that volunteer coordinator has been able to get enough volunteers to staff the bookstore for all of the hours that the library has been open. So it makes a very big difference in our outcome. What do we do with the funds that we raise? Well, our board meets 9 times a year, and at each board meeting, our library liaisons present to us fund requests to support the various programs. And then our board goes and works to approve those requests. Those requests center on supporting the library programs as well as the branches in the Great River Regional System. For example, we grant funds to pay for the prizes for the summer and winter reading programs, for the teen services, for adult programs. I think one of the more interesting things that we funded was the brain teaser kits for people who are struggling with memory issues. We donated last year money to help support the free summer lunch program that the library hosted for the first time. We gave $5,000 to help expand the digital collection, the ebooks and the audiobooks, which are really near and dear to my heart. I just love them. We also grant funds to pay for things to help enhance the facility itself. Last year, we donated money to purchase a new commercial shredder, a refrigerator for staff, new displays, and other items. So what did we focus on last year? Well, last year, we really focused on stepping up our marketing efforts to recapture the clientele and the revenue that we lost due to the fire. And we did that by holding monthly special promotions in the bookstore and stepping up our marketing efforts. We increased our revenue 33% over 2016, so we had good results. We'd like to see that continue. To further drive sales, we enhanced the bookstore itself. We repainted, we got new displays, new tables, etc. And finally, we concentrated on process improvement. We created a new volunteer application and a new volunteer handbook to clearly delineate what we expected out of our volunteers and how we wanted them to interact with our clientele. What are we going to focus on this year and into 2019? Well, as we look to the future, we're going to explore new revenue streams to help continue to support the library beyond just bookstore sales. We'll continue to make enhancements in the bookstore and step up our marketing efforts, particularly from a social media perspective. We will continue to hold monthly special promotions within the bookstore. And while our volunteers are quite dedicated, they're aging just like the rest of us. And so we're going to plan for the future and step up our efforts to recruit more volunteers, particularly for people to work in the sorting room who can lift heavy books, etc., and move heavy book carts. So in a nutshell, the Friends of the Library, we're your friends. We're here to help support the library programs now and in the future with an eye towards literacy, community, sustainability, and accessibility. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Sure, I'll take questions.
Mary?
In addition to the social media marketing efforts, what other methods do you use to promote?
We do 2 times a year. We have a membership newsletter that we send out to our membership. We have done some radio advertising for like the bag of books sale. We have done some things within the newspaper itself, but it is an area that we really need to do more with. So there's only so much time and things that we need to focus on, but it is something that we do want to do more of. Our concern is stepping on the toes of the fundraising efforts of the library itself, because there is confusion, I think, from when the library does fundraising versus when Friends of the Library does fundraising. So we're going to have Karen come and attend one of our next meetings to talk a little bit more about how we can work better together. Mm-hmm. Other questions?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Lisa? Thank you for the presentation and for the support that you give to the library here. And this is probably more a question for staff. Where would you say are other really active Friends organizations at our different branches? You know, I toured all of my branches and kind of have a sense of that myself, but because this one works because of the volume, the numbers, where you're located, all of that, but I'm just curious what you would think.
St. Cloud has a really special relationship with Great River because the headquarters has always been co-located with the Friends. Mm-hmm. So that's probably our strongest relationship by far. I mean, most of our larger libraries have strong Friends groups. Elk River, Buffalo, I was just at Clearwater, and they are a very forward-thinking group. Kimball, they just went down and testified for the bonding bill last week. I mean, we have 28 Friends groups, and I would say the majority of them are highly invested. The real question is how good are they at volunteer recruitment and retention? And then how good is their relationship with Great River? I think some of those relationships are a little more strained than others. It is a confusing place to be when you're both raising money for the library.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the last thing we want to do is cause problems.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we want to be able to work together. So it's, to get good results, right?
Right. Well, and the Friends, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, came up with the idea of doing the Barnes & Noble.
Yes, we'll do that.
I think you do it after day after Thanksgiving?
You do it the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So a portion of the proceeds, when people go to the library, if they mention the Friends group, then a portion of their book sales are donated back to us. So last year wasn't as quite as successful. We raised about $1,000. The year before, I think it was around $1,500. But people are buying fewer books. They're visiting the bookstore itself less when you go to Barnes. Lots more things are purchased online, and that's why we're looking at other ways, other revenue streams. One of the things we're looking at, probably for 2019, is to host an author event. So Friends Night Out, and with a, you know, it being a fundraiser to pay to participate. So that's one thing we're looking at. We're looking at one of the newest things for fundraising is the brewery fundraisers. Mm. So let's have fun. So we might tie that with the fall meeting that's going to occur. So,
and yeah. I think what's unique about our relationship is, like with the Barnes & Noble instance, you have to be a government entity, I think, to receive the funds, or is it 501c3? I can't remember. That's one where we have to partner in order for it to actually end up where the dollars are received for the Great River Collection and vice versa. So if they need a government entity, Great River will often partner with the St. Cloud Friends on that grant application, or if we need a 501c3, the St. Cloud Friends often serve that role for us as well. So it's a really unique relationship that way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. 9, staff report, executive director's report.
Okay. A bunch of updates since the last meeting. I'll focus on the stuff just in the executive director's report for right now, but there will be stuff under the public relations report also. The lease agreement, we recently met with City Administrator Matt Staling to talk about the lease agreement. We still agree on the basic concepts in the lease. What we're not going to agree on to the start is what the cost will be. So in that meeting, we offered to do the first draft because we've been waiting 6 months for the city to pull one together, and it hasn't been moving forward very quickly. One of the points of contention is around the role of the St. Cloud Library Board. In the existing lease, it says the St. Cloud Library Board serves as fiscal agent, approves the bills, and the city hasn't always appointed members consistently to that board. Right now, we're working one member short. One of the board members should have termed off a year ago, and the one that they most recently appointed is 17 years old. So it's been an odd relationship since the city changed some of their leadership roles, and so we'll have to redefine how that library board functions going forward. It would be nice if we could have a board member or two assigned to work with us on the lease, because we are getting to the point where we're talking real dollars and cents now. And in that first draft, I would hope to send over what our estimate will be. And I told Matt right in the meeting, you know, this is going to be a lot lower than what you said, but I think we recognize that we first need to get the language figured out, and we can work on the dollar amounts as we work back and forth. So I do have the first draft of the language over to our legal counsel this week. It combines elements of the branch agreement, the existing St. Cloud lease, and parts of East Central and Lake Agassiz lease agreements, because they're in a similarly situated circumstance with their headquarters. So if the chair would entertain the idea of appointing some members to that task with us, I think we'd appreciate having some board insights as we go forward.
I have a question about the St. Cloud Board versus the City Council of St. Cloud. Who makes the final determination of the lease agreement?
The City of St. Cloud says it's the City of St. Cloud. So I would say that's where it will land. So it will be the City Council.
But they do bring it to the St. Cloud Board to let them put their input.
The St. Cloud Board has been involved and know what's going on. But I don't know. Do you want to speak to that a little bit, Ryan? Ryan goes to the meetings.
I would just add that we have a very active City Council liaison on that board. And so part of the discrepancy on whether or not we're a member short is there's some confusion on whether or not that City Council liaison is a voting member of the board. And so to hear us say it, we're still a member short. To hear the city say it, you're fully, your board is full. But so they are aware of what's going on with everything too.
And that City Council liaison's been active for the last 2 years now?
That sounds about right, yep.
Up until that point, we didn't have a city council liaison, so that's part of the knowledge gap between the city and the library, is we didn't have someone reporting back and forth for quite some time.
All right, and then as far as the volunteers go, what is the times that they would be coming to the meetings or whatever? Do you have any idea?
I think it will be mostly by phone. I don't anticipate being able to schedule a time with everybody in the room consistently, because the city has been hard to get to the table. For example, the most recent time we ended up canceling and rescheduling like a week later because of situations going on at the city with Costco. So they have a lot of really time sensitive things going on, so just getting city people in the room has been a bit of a challenge.
Which is great, because then if by the phone, I think we can find a few members here that can...
Yeah, I think mostly by the phone. If it gets to the point where we actually need someone in the room, sure, we bring you there.
Do we have any volunteers? Would you like to have two? We got Lee. Volunteer? Anybody else to get on the phone occasionally?
I can talk twice as much.
We know.
Huh? All right, we got...
Right. Thank you.
So,
good.
Do we need an alternate?
Only if you want one.
Let's get him.
And just call Lee back again.
Yeah. I think we should get Ed involved a little bit more here. So I think he'd be a great alternate in case you're, you know, maybe laid up or something like that. So.
Well, the by phone thing caught my attention. I wasn't going to volunteer for that.
I'll do the alternate.
There we go.
Okay.
All right, so now we have three.
If I can't get a hold of Lee, you're next on the hook.
All right. Thank you very much for that.
Mr. Chairman, you talk about amnesty here for 10th anniversary of this building. Would that be amnesty for the whole area? All the Great
Ridge Road? Know. It's just an idea at this point. I was just out in Little Falls this morning talking to the staff, and they were suggesting that maybe we should do something like that in Swanville to try to get people back into the library, because they've been struggling getting users to come back. And so I think we need to explore that a little more. It may fit with some of the work we do around fund development this year, so I think it remains to be seen.
Okay.
I did also have a conference call with Blackbaud, who is the company that hosts our fund development software, earlier this week, and I'll be meeting with them by phone again later this week. They offer services by contract around fundraising, and so they're putting some kind of proposal together. Thought it would be worth looking at, as long as we're still exploring what's possible. So that would be the two big items under my director's report that are different.
Okay. All right. Management reports.
So, I don't know. You want to start with Howard Lake? And
okay. Just wanted to let you all know that Sheila Reike has started as the interim LSC in Howard Lake, as well as Cokato. She's started last Monday, so a week ago yesterday, and things are going really well so far. She's got tons of ideas. We're super excited about the potential of her coming in, already knowing the job really well, already being someone who is has shown herself to just be an excellent employee, excellent LSC, lots of enthusiasm and experience around programming and outreach and those kinds of things, and we're very hopeful that that's going to be just a big shot in the arm in Howard Lake and kind of reinvigorate the library there, and it's very, very exciting. So,
Mike? Thank
you. Brandy, a question for you, because I got a few emails and phone calls from people in that neck of the woods that are concerned that their hours were going to get cut, and what was it going to mean? I told them, I said, I'll check into it. I don't think that anything cutting services wasn't happening, as far as just trying to alleviate the issue that's there right now. And I believe we had talked before about some LSCs sharing different branches to economies. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You try it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you go back to something else.
Right. And just to speak to that point, we have been in really close contact with Nick Hagenmeyer, the city administrator in Howard Lake, all the way through this process. Had great conversations with him, and he even was willing to come to a Friends of Library meeting that I was at to answer the questions from the Friends. and speak up in support of Great River in doing this. So I feel really good about where our relationship is with the city right now. In terms of the Friends, I did go meet with them, tried to answer their questions, tried to reassure them. Some of the big concerns that they had were around things like, does this mean we're cutting open hours in Howard Lake? Does this, you know, to which I assured them, no, this has nothing to do with open hours. It's the exact same open hours that you have. So does that mean we're only going to have someone who's running the library 5 hours a week? You know, I said, no. She's going to be spending half of her time in Howard Lake and half of her time in Cocado. You know, so kind of reassured them around those things. The other thing I shared with them is some of the real strengths that I see to this. Just from where I come from with Great River and my history, I started out as the LSC in Royalton, and I had a staff of two. So it was me and my assistant trying to do all of the outreach, all of the programming, everything ourselves. And I will tell you, that is a big challenge to try to serve the needs of an entire community, all the different age ranges, all the different interest groups, and everything else, when you only have two people who can do that work, because one of the people that I had was an aide who couldn't do the programming and the outreach. When we have, I've been calling it a shared team and two branches, when you have a shared team like that, as a coordinator, you double your pool of talent. You suddenly have twice as many people to pull from to delegate to, and so you can have someone who excels at team programming, someone who excels at story time, someone who excels at adult programming, all those kinds of things, and they can share those resources back and forth across the branches. And so that was the message that I also took to the Friends, that I think while it may seem scary to them, and I fully understand where they're coming from, I think what they're actually going to find 6 months from now is that they have a library with twice the resources because of what we've been able to bring in there in terms of the strengths of the staff.
I'd also want to speak about the Belgrade-Painesville pilot, which started a few weeks before the Cocado-Howard Lake one. And I'll bring your memories back to the end of last year when we were in the midst of union negotiations, and we said we're probably going to need to look at this because we have so many retirements coming. We did not know at that point in time we'd have two within 6 months. So we've had to kind of hit the ground running with both pilots. The challenge has been that we anticipate that these will become benefit eligible positions, but in the interim, we are not working with them at a benefit eligible level. So we can't put people at a higher than, 32 hours because of ACA requirements.
Right. Sheila's at 32, and I think Gretchen's at 30 right now because of the amount of hours that they had previously worked and things like that.
And overall, I think we'll be able to absorb any changes within the existing budget. Howard Lake Cocado, because they did also have an assistant leave, we have more wiggle room within the existing staffing allocation. We've made some pretty substantial changes in other staff areas. PR is a question mark that's still out there. So if they are, they're Painesville and Belgrade will not be budget neutral. They will cost us a little bit of money on the surface. But I think what we save is the time we would spend training a new person to run that library and the time that we do a review on an extra person and the time it takes people to supervise. And the other strength that comes of it, Gretchen spoke about when I saw her at Stearns County last week, is they are always available. If they're working 30 hours, they're working 5 days a week. So even if they're in Belgrade, their staff in Painesville can call them. And that's not something they had before in terms of depth of staffing. With the Painesville-Belgrade situation, I do think we're going to take a look at the open hours, not in terms of quantity, but right now those two schedules are simultaneous schedules. So it's very difficult to staff it because you have to have two people in order to keep both libraries open. And we think there is some patron overlap between the two libraries, so it would be possibly patron benefit to adjust those schedules so they're more complementary. So should this pilot become a permanent situation, that would be the next step, is to look at whether those open hours make sense and make any adjustments on the first of the year. And again, it wouldn't be a total change to either library, but when they're open, make change. Because they're both open, for example, 2 to 8 on Friday. There's only three libraries in the whole system that are open 2 to 8 on Friday, and it's Belgrade and Painesville are two of them. And maybe that makes perfect sense, but it is something we want to explore as a next step, assuming we keep those two libraries together. So.
All right, thank you. Anything else under management reports?
I should let you know we did meet with the pay consultant earlier this week. Julie's not with us tonight. We shared all of the information about the past study, and he is in the process of doing market comparators. The one change we made to the comparator list from the 2013 list is we did add Anoka County and Scott County as possible comparators because we have lost staff to both locations. Anoka County, most recently, we lost, I think, three different staff from Elk River in the last 6 months to Anoka County. And shortly after the 2013 pay study was done, we lost three full-time staff to Scott County. So we do want to make sure that we're using those as a reference point. And I think with any pay and market study, they do throw out the top and the bottom end and on all things. So I just wanted to let you know that was happening.
And moving forward, do we not have a kind of a competitor moving in here, Costco?
Yes.
And that may affect our staff also, correct?
It might. You know, they're a very different animal in that they offer a lot more benefit eligible positions too. So it's hard to say what's going to happen. This study is going to focus on the market today. We can't really anticipate how that's going to change the St. Cloud job force. I mean, we also have Electrolux laying off 900 people. So, you know, when that point in time comes, we'll take a look at it. Most of our entry-level positions are still attracting candidates. What we have here is a niche market in our retirees. Oh, we have a lot of retirees shelving books, which is unusual, and I don't know how long it will be sustainable, but right now it is a place that we're excelling, is having really highly qualified people shelving books.
People with master's degrees.
Master's degrees who love the library, and they really bring a new aspect to the staff. I mean, these are positions that were traditionally held by high school students. And over time, we've seen that workforce shift pretty dramatically. It brings other issues, too. I mean, you don't think about what the health implications might be of hiring an employee necessarily, but, you know, we're not discriminating in our hiring practices, but having an older workforce creates different challenges than having a younger workforce. So,
Mr. Chairman. With regard to the Sartell, you did a weekly day, March 2nd, you said delivered every day. Who paid for those costs?
The city of Sartell did.
Okay, so you have the bill for it?
I already did.
Okay.
If I may, that was something that they requested, yep. Was the second.
But they did it every day for a week, they said.
Just to catch
yes,
up.
Yes, I did that every day to catch it up, yes, because
right.
We had a backlog.
And then on the fundraising area in front of you, you do have a locally grown slip. This is our March fundraiser that replaced High Five. It's a great opportunity to get to 100% board participation in our fundraising and a really easy entry point. As of last Friday, we had raised over $5,000. Last year, we brought in $11,000. So we think we're going a little stronger, but we don't have a way to benchmark against prior years. What I'm hearing from staff is now that we're not asking for $5, we're actually getting fairly large donations. Waite Park had a $500 donation come in last week. Yesterday, Little Falls had a $150 donation come in across the desk. And I've heard of multiple over $100 donations coming in this fundraising campaign. If you want information about what your library is raising funds for, I have that list in front of me. But I would encourage you to participate in locally grown if you're able to do that. And then the last item I'd like to bring up in the management reports is around the fund development retreat. We had initially talked about doing it on April 11th, but there's a lot of board members who are unable to come on a Wednesday evening. So I'm suggesting that we move it to what would have been the board work session date on April 17th. Instead of having a board work session, if that means we could get more board members at the meeting. Stu, the fundraising consultant, would like to have at least half the board there. We have room for 25 people, so more than enough space for everybody to come. I know there's a handful of you who may or may not be able to, but does that work for most people?
Okay, that's the same night as a finance committee, so would we move to cancel the finance committee and just go at the retreat?
I'm thinking the finance committee would be half hour or less, and then we would use the rest of the time for the fundraising retreat. Randy and I are negotiating about how much time it will take.
It started at 4 hours. So we're down to three. 3 minutes and 57 seconds, or 3 hours and 57 seconds.
No, Stu wanted four. I got him down to three. Randy wants two. We'll find a middle ground if I can get more people here.
What time would you propose we start?
I was thinking, would finance committee at 4:30 work for those of you who are on that?
Yes.
Because then we could do the fundraising retreat potentially from 5 to 8.
We would have sandwiches.
Hey. That was quick.
I saw Dan's look. So.
I'm with you, Dan.
How are you going to do that? White Castle closed.
Yeah.
Horton's just opened up.
We could put 7:30 each.
We'll put 7:30 and so know that it'll go long.
Should we move, or is everybody okay moving the finance to 4:30?
And that'll work for me.
Okay.
We have a...
Yeah?
I had in for 5 already, so 4:30 doesn't matter. I'll
okay,
be here
earlier is okay.
I'm just changing my calendar.
And I know Wayne, is 5 too early, or is that...
No, I'll make every effort to be here. Yeah.
Okay. Or Zuria, I know you...
4:30?
Well, fine. Not everyone's
4:30.
That's
no,
it, she's
for, but
I'm not on the finance.
No, but could you get here
but
at
I,
5?
Yeah, I could get here at 5.
Okay.
I just have to check something.
Well, who's calling us? We're trying to arrange phone calls about the fundraising.
That was Stu Wilson. He's the consultant. So he has a list of people he's interviewing.
Because he's calling me tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, yeah, you were on the list.
All right, so we'll change the finance to 4:30 on the 17th of April.
Yep. You're saying 5 to 7 for the fundraising?
Yep. I'll see if I can get Stu down to 2 hours. But he really wanted 3 to 4, so.
You're for that, aren't you, Fran?
Just walk
4 hours?
Yeah. 4 hours? Thank you for making that change.
Hit all day, Randy.
Yeah.
All won't do any good.
Anything else in management reports?
That would be the last thing.
All right, Jim.
It looks like we're redoing the performance review process.
Yes.
Are we adopting a different system? Are we going with a different vendor? Or is this going to be internally generated?
It's internally generated. Julie pared down the existing performance review. Didn't we have this in a board packet prior? I thought we did. Yeah, we talked about it a while ago. So we have moved to a more coaching model of performance management where we're expecting our staff to meet with their staff at least 2 to 4 times a year, one-on-one, and just talk about what are your goals, how far are you achieving them, what are the issues that you're seeing, so that when you get to the review, there's no surprises. And the review is going to be much more streamlined. So there's mostly check boxes like exemplifies core values or uses time wisely or yes-no questions instead of 1 to 5 ratings. And then there's areas for success that are just narrative pieces, areas for improvement, and then areas for opportunity, and then the goals section.
So how this affect your review? Because we as a board review you.
If you want to change that, you can, but I don't know if she was planning on doing that.
Okay, I'm just asking. Wayne's the chair of the committee, so I just personally.
Yeah,
committee.
I can ask her. She's on her way to Switzerland as we speak, so I probably won't see her until April. But I will ask her when she gets back.
Well,
Mr. Chair, in reference to that, we did make changes 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And we did that because of issues that were pending with some members, not particularly board members, but we did make that change. But there has been a change since then of the members that wanted that change. But I thought last year the process went fairly well, and I think Julie did too. Now, unless she sees some issues that need to be improved upon, I don't know. She never shared them with me, so I think it went well. She was kind of in control of it from the input, and it came back to us to do the final review of the full board. So,
right, so this year it would be Wayne and Randy who would be doing that process. And I think in the past we've brought that forward in September, just as a, this is the way we're going to do it. Yeah. Is that what you want? So it would be brought up at a future board meeting.
Anything else?
All right. Yes. The chilled story, because I think you referred to it twice in the St. Cloud report, talks about the incident and its cause are under investigation. Is that a different one than when the chiller problem?
It's the same chiller problem that we talked about in February.
Okay.
And MCIT was on site a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't heard back from them yet.
Anything else? Not, we'll move on to building reports.
So then the Kimball Friends of the Library did a really great job testifying down at the Capitol on library bonding and that bill on Thursday of last week. I don't know that there's anything new since the reports were written.
Okay. All right, moving forward to 10, committee reports, finance committee. We'll need an action on that.
Mr. Chair, our Finance Committee met right prior to this meeting, and the two items that we discussed were the 2019 base budget proposal. You all have a copy of that. It comes in, yields a 0.31 overall decrease, or a $28,541 decrease from 2018. So this was just a discussion at this meeting, and then we also reviewed fund balance accounts, and you also were provided with copies of those.
For more discussion, I would need a motion and a second. We need a motion for the finance. I got a motion from Mike. A second.
Second.
All right. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Library safety security.
Mr. Chair, the committee met on March 14th. Lee was the new member from this board and was introduced. We had new officer Dave Warner present in place of Officer Chris Jennison, and I don't know if Chris will be coming back or if
I think when Chris comes back from leave, Steve Warner goes.
Anyway, did a good job with us. We did a number of things, had very good discussion. I thought it was one of the best meetings we've had so far. So I was, Lee showed up, that was why. Anyway, we made progress. We talked about being proactive and reactive, and we want to take care of the needs that were. Michelle had sent out a survey to the branches and had gotten that back, but some branches did not respond to that survey, so the committee was a little concerned about that. And she reviewed them with us a little bit, and some discussion was held on where the desks were located in the libraries and so forth, and some of the concerns. And the committee felt that we should be addressing the concerns that the staff was sharing with us, and I believe Karen will be working on that with the staff to do that. That was talked about putting mirrors in some of them if we couldn't move the desks for security reasons. And maybe we'll do that anyway. And then it was talked about having cameras, maybe chimes at the doors to indicate someone was coming in or going out on the branches or wherever, and also the desk arrangements. I think Karen will be talking to municipal departments about some of these issues to see if they will provide that. If not, we do have a fund that we could.
We'll look at operating equipment.
We'll look at something. Or maybe we could do that.
That was only 2 days ago.
So, and then
de-escalating training. The police department is offering to do that, and I think we're going to take advantage of that in some time. And Michelle has said she will resend the surveys out to the branches that did not respond and see if we can get something from them. We don't know why they didn't respond. Maybe they didn't think it was that important. But, we were still concerned about that. I'm reading the notes. Eric took notes, so I'm reading his notes. My memory isn't that bad. Eric did go through, he had made some changes to the St. Cloud Public Library rules of behavior, and we reviewed them. I think he made some good additions to them. I'm not sure if, I don't know if we have anything to say over that. I think it's the library, St. Cloud Library.
St. Cloud Library Board.
That does, but there were some comments and input, so he is going to probably finalize them, and I don't know, take them back to them or what.
He's going to work with the building group to do the okay. next draft and then bring okay. it to the library board. Okay. Yep.
And Karen will be talking with the St. Cloud Police Chief to see if what costs there might be to have someone from their agency do a comprehensive security plan for our region and actually maybe go to the branches to do an assessment of all the branches. Is that what we talked about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm asking the chief, and then we'll see what
and
he
I
says
I don't know when
about
you're going to do that appointment, but or when you're going to sit down with him, but that's still pending, I'm assuming.
Right. So. Well, and assuming he gives us a price, right. we'd incorporate it as a budget proposal.
Right.
Yep.
You had a question about that one.
That's about all I can see that we talked about. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that was all.
Any questions for Dave or Lee? Dan?
I got a question about having somebody, the St. Cloud Police Chief, going to all the branches.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, like Mike and I know the Sheriff's Department real well, and would it be better to have the county doing that for their branches and then reach out to them to try to do that? Because it's really, I know that they're all in the same game, but each county works so differently when it comes to the way their sheriffs are and the deputies.
Well, I don't, you know, for my two bits on this, I don't care who does it. The advantage of having the same party do all of them is that you have the same frame of reference. However, you know, the stuff that is, I would think, could be relatively obvious would be similar in each case. We could certainly ask a local entity if they would have an objection or if they'd be willing to do the assessment themselves. But for my two bits on this, I just want an assessment. And who does it is kind of splitting hairs, but you got my perspective on advantages and disadvantages. And
Mary.
Sure. We could perhaps work with St. Cloud or whoever to put together some kind of a curriculum.
Oh.
You know,
format.
That would be
roadmap.
So it would be consistent across the region, okay. because that's important too, I think. Our staff is all spread out.
Dave?
Well, being a former sheriff, I would have to comment that there are some agencies and sheriff's departments that probably would not have a certified person to do a proper assessment. Now, I could probably say I could send somebody down to do an assessment, but whether they're doing it accurately or not it would be questionable in my mind. From my experience, because the smaller departments do not have that specified training. When we talk to the St. Cloud officer, it appears and sounds to me that they have extensive training in this area. And we're not trying to offend any jurisdiction. We're just looking, as I think as Lee wants, as a good assessment of our branches. And I certainly, Aunt Mary's got a good idea, but I certainly wouldn't be opposed to them going to the agency, taking someone with that from that agency to that branch to say we're going to do an assessment and provide an assessment to the local police and sheriff too, so that they know their weaknesses or their strengths. So that would be my input on that.
Well, we could
so.
We reach out to the deputy sheriff or the sheriff in that particular county and say, the assessment's going to be coming there. If you're more than welcome to show up, if you have any input on it or something like that. Yeah.
I think you definitely want to have the input of your sheriff or city chief of police in where you're going. I don't think you want to send the St. Cloud chief of police to Swanville.
Well, it won't be the chief.
Yeah, it won't be the
Well, whoever. You know, I don't think you want to do that. I think if you have, you know, communications, then do them both.
I'm imagining Chief
images of burning saddles. Well, it's always a good idea to work with, not
against.
Yeah,
work with and not against. I would.
And we'd suggest that, I think, as a committee.
I think first we need a price tag. So.
Got to work and see what's going to happen first. So.
Jumping ahead here a little bit, maybe, Mr. Chair. We need a price tag.
Being close.
See if we're going to do it.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair. Right.
Mary?
I just think it's really important that we move forward with, I mean, there was another school incident this morning, and I mean, staff has got to be concerned, and I am. It's important that we keep moving on this, I think, so just want to say that. And yeah, I know it's got a price tag, but so do injured employees and patrons.
Mr. Chair, I was just saying we're talking about process and procedure, and we can figure that out when we know more about the price and things like that. But yes, definitely, we need to keep moving ahead.
And we don't even know if St. Cloud is willing to do it. So.
Right. Yeah. So
it's just a suggestion we're working off.
Any more discussion? Great discussion. All right, moving forward. Unfinished business.
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. New business, financial policies.
These are updates in your packet. Aaron worked on them.
I was just going to say that these haven't been updated in a really long time. And so some of them mostly just contained title changes and then date formatting. Some of them were updated with language. So, and I didn't do all of them because most of them were still good as they were. So these are the only ones that I made changes to.
All right, I'll need some action for more discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question with regard to retention for payroll records. You say you've lined up payroll records for 6 years. Being involved with retention in my prior job, it was very important to maintain a lot of that information.
These four items here used to be under the jurisdiction of accounting. They are now under the jurisdiction of human resources. We do not even have these in our file room anymore.
Okay, thank you.
That's why I moved them.
All right. We'll need a motion on the financial policy revision.
I so move.
Jim, I have a motion. I need a second.
I'll second.
That'll be Laura. I need any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Bylaw review.
It says in our bylaws that we review our bylaws. So I don't have any suggested changes, but they're in front of you in their entirety. So if there's something you'd want to consider,
what page does that start on again?
Page 41.
Any discussion on the bylaws? We'll give a minute to look them over.
The last major revision we did was when we added the finance committee a couple of years ago.
Any more discussion on that? Otherwise, we can move on to 12.3 other, which could be probably the...
Mr. Chair, before I have one question on the term of office.
Okay. Page?
On page 41.
Okay.
Third, fourth,
Yep.
Okay, it doesn't really deal with if you're coming in midterm for somebody, or is your term always starting whether you're replacing somebody or not.
You want to speak to that, Patty? You're the expert.
Well, I'll share with you what we've learned over the years and okay. See if that answers your question. If someone comes in midterm, sometimes it is first of the year, so then you would serve, say, someone was serving a 3-year term and they left after 1 year. You would come in the first of that year, you would serve those 2 years, and then you would get your own term. It still is only a total of 9 years.
Okay.
Midterm. So then the person that follows you would be coming in on midterm.
Because, like, I came in September.
What we've consulted on that, and what we've been told is anything July 1st or after
yep.
does not count for a full year. But if you start prior to July 1st, that counts for a full year.
I
so
think we're.
You came in on August 1st.
We want to keep you.
5 free months.
You
yeah.
get 9.5 years. You know, we've been going through so many things in our county with term issues. That's why I'm bringing it up. Because. Even in our township, we've had a lot of issues, so.
Well, does that answer what you were?
Yeah, I think so.
We get
basically, no matter when you come in, you're starting a 3-year term. Yeah. You know, except that if it's after July, it's not a full year, so it doesn't start till the next year.
What are you thinking? Should we need clarification or a change?
It might help for that to be in the bylaws so that it's a little bit, you know, explains that. Part of the term, just that, you know, a full year term, for instance, doesn't start until the next year if you're coming in after a certain point.
One of those things that's not a big deal until it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that even if you're coming in midterm, that your term starts the following January 1st as a 3-year set, or? So you're wanting, you know what I'm asking? Because we've got
staggered.
Staggered terms.
Yeah, because staggered terms aren't identified in here at all.
The terms are staggered if you look at how they're put together.
That's
but
why
I don't know
that
it says it in the language.
No, it doesn't. And I just want to see if that's important to have that in there or not. I know it doesn't seem like a big deal now until all of a sudden it does become
yep.
a big deal.
We can certainly add that and bring it back.
I mean, for me, it would be helpful. Yeah.
I think what Dan is saying is probably a little bit more important than the staggered mm-hmm. events that we have. So, again, if you put it in the bylaws,
yep.
that, okay, your term starts from January 1st to July 1st, then it is 1 year or versus this July 2nd versus December. Because, yeah, I, too, came in. I forgot what I came in midterm. I don't remember what
it
time.
Was,
right.
June, I think.
Oh, that's right.
And the board's never been the same.
He brought stability to the board.
Right. But anyway. Would you want to put that in the bylaws?
How about putting it on the agenda?
Of an explanation.
Put it on the agenda.
I can pull some proposed language together and see. That way we have at least a working starting point.
Could you maybe just email something to everybody
mm-hmm.
just to give everybody a rough idea what it would look like?
Mr. Chair, if we change the bylaws and not all members are present, do we have to have all members present to change the bylaws?
No, but it does need to be in the call of the meeting.
Right.
Okay. But sometimes if changing bylaws is a critical thing, and then if you don't have members present when we're changing them, that could be an issue, too, because they might say, well, I wasn't there when you changed the bylaws. So,
well, let's keep splitting the hair.
Yep.
How about call-ins, same as attendance?
I don't know.
Skyping in? I mean, that'd be clarification, too.
Well, they talk about your amendments right here, Article 9.
Send an email to the board member just to see what it looks like, and then we can move forward to that.
Okay.
That sounds good to me.
Is that good to everybody?
Can I just make
yes.
a... So I have always wondered is there a certain limit of if you miss this many meetings as a regular board member, if you miss 3 consecutive mm. meetings or
there
two
is language in there.
What
it
page is,
is
that on?
I'm asking, is
oh.
there a language
there
that
is
that
3 consecutive
because
meetings.
Because it says
and we have been interpreting that to 3 consecutive regular meetings because in the past we haven't
work
always
sessions.
Had work sessions. So if we wanted to change that to something other than what's written there, we certainly
I'm just actually looking at the termination of trustee's term. But 41, page 41 at the bottom.
Oh, it's not included on that section. It's actually included under meetings.
Section 4, disqualification vacancies.
Yep, thank you. It's on page 42. And it says when, it's about halfway through that first paragraph under section 4, when any trustee fails to attend at least 3 consecutive meetings of the board shall declare his or her position vacant, and it shall be the duty of the president to notify the appointing governing body of the vacancy. And we've interpreted that to mean 3 consecutive regular meetings. We could certainly make that more specific if the board would want that to be more specific.
I have a recommendation, Mr. Chair. I think shall is a little strong. I would rather use the word may, because the board, there could be some mitigating circumstances of missing meetings. You know, granted, it's could be every other month, but I could have a conflict of schedule and maybe not be able to make all them meetings. So, or you could have health issues that could affect that too. So I would say it should be may instead of shall. That gives the board the option. So.
Then, I mean, there's a difference between somebody who lets you know ahead of time that they have this conflict or they are out of town or they have this issue and they can't come. So for 3 times, if they have said, this is a conflict, I can't come, as opposed to somebody not showing up for 3 consecutive times, there is a difference. So I think if somebody comes in and says, I'm traveling 1 month, I have another work problem the other month, and so I can't make it, there should be some language to specify.
That's why me.
Except if they just don't show up for 3 consecutive.
I think if you take Dave's suggestion, it would take care of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think this board has been really good about attendance. The only concern I'd have would be if we had several board members who did
way
that
too many
on a
surgeries.
Regular basis, and we failed to meet quorum and were unable to take action.
Look,
that's
for
where we
board
could get
members. Yeah. Now that 17-year-old doesn't sound like a dumb idea.
Since we're looking at this bylaws, is this something that we're going to have to maybe have us on an agenda for, well, not April. You won't
no,
it
won't
that.
Be in April.
Maybe we should do something.
May is our regular
Make?
Meeting.
Should we put this on the agenda for May, and then we can have everybody do their input and go from there? We hopefully have a full board. Mary?
I might have missed this as I was reading such an exciting document, but does it say an excused or unexcused absences
no.
anywhere?
It doesn't.
Doesn't say anything. Anywhere.
Yeah. And that goes to your question, too. And I've seen that in other bylaws.
If you have a good example from another organization and you want to send that along, please do.
Pretty sure it's in Elk Rivers.
That would be an interesting one to look at.
If you want it, I'll get it.
Yeah,
get it to Karen, and we can take a look at that in May. Any more discussion on that? But, again, thanks for that. That was so we're back to look around here. Okay, 12.4, committee appointments.
So I talked to Mary 2 days ago, I think, about CMLE, and since then we had a CMLE board appointee submit her resignation. Seal Dwyer has served in that capacity for, I think, almost 4 or 5 years now, but due to a new job change, she's no longer able to serve in that role. They do meet tomorrow, and what I have been trying to do is appoint more Great River board members to that board so there's more consistency and sharing between the two organizations. So right now, of the 5 seats that Great River has appointed, Mary is the only Great River board member on it. Bernice Burns is still serving. She termed off at
right.
the end of last year. So it would be great if I could have another board member who'd be willing to serve on that board. They meet 4 times a year.
What days do they meet on?
Wednesdays.
Wednesdays at what time?
Huh?
Where?
Crosstown.
Over by Target.
Crosstown.
And what time do they meet usually?
1 to 3. But I think that, I think we changed that too a couple years ago. I don't remember.
So do we have one more volunteer?
I'll volunteer.
Thank you very
much. Would you be able to go to the meeting tomorrow already?
Tomorrow I can't. I am getting my taxes done tomorrow.
That's an excuse. That's
one in a row. We're giving you one shell.
Yeah. I'll forward you the meeting materials at least.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Did you get, you got them?
I got them from Carla yesterday. So.
Well, thanks for that, Laura.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else there on that one?
That's it.
All right. Open forum. We'll start over here. Do you have anything to say?
Good.
Happy Easter.
Mm-hmm. April Fool's.
I have nothing, Mr. Chair.
Mary?
If you're at me.
I'm good. Thank you.
We'll let you any of that. All right. Dan?
That's right.
First day of spring.
Mike?
You're just having fun, right?
Right. That's what we got to do. Wayne, I appreciate all the input and talking so much today.
Great.
I'm going to get him going. I'm going to get him going.
Whip him up. Good.
Fran?
I'm good.
Lee?
Do our collective bargaining agreements mention or restrict part-time employment?
No. I don't think so. Most of our positions are part-time employees.
For some government functions, as boomers are retiring, they wait a period of time. I believe the para regulations are one month, not that they would re-enter in the same position, but possibly a related position in for less hours than in the past. My point is that's a resource, and. Is there a way that, we, in a painless manner, that we could work with that resource?
We do have quite a few retirees that come back and serve as substitutes.
Yeah?
Yes. It saves a lot in training.
I mean, you know, this convalescence has taught me that my retirement is way the hell out there.
Yeah.
It's kin stress relationships. Let's see. Sides are up from across the room.
Anything else, Lee?
Mr. Chairman, can I just add something?
Yeah.
I just recently discovered that the Green Card Voices exhibit is going to be at the library in July.
Mm-hmm.
As a member of Unite Cloud, I would like to offer, if you would like us to do any kind of presentation at that time with that, or set up something like we did the International Community Festival.
Oh, neat.
Because I'm in touch with a lot of the people that are from the different countries, and we could set up a booth and have, you know, like we did at the International Community Festival, we had samples for food, and we also had posters for the different countries, dresses and ethnic stuff. But that's out in July. Please let me know if you want to plan something because we would need some time.
Okay, thanks. I do have some staff assigned to that, so I'll make sure that they get in touch with you.
Myself, it says on 14, next meeting is at 6:00. Make sure you change that. Mm-hmm. On April 17th, finance at 4:30, full board at 5.
Five.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.